Good morning, everybody. You can turn the volume down.
Are people in here? I thought we could get the music off.
Good morning, everybody. I'm calling to order the meeting, a special meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors on March 20th, 2020. I'm just going to ask if there's anybody out there on conference call. Can you hear us? We have 10 people in the room. Go call them.
Where do we call
them? Wherever you want to. It's on the agenda. Would you do me a favor, Ted? Would you, or Joe, why don't you call in right away and make sure that you can hear us, and then I will start again. Or if Lucy's already, if Lucy has called in, would you ask her to, if she can hear me? Well, let's see if somebody calls in right away. We're going to be a couple minutes late, but let's make sure our technology is working.
Somebody used it this morning already, I noticed.
Yeah, I did with Alyssa.
Oh, sure.
It just, okay, good.
8 9 5 7 9 1. Access code 8 9 5 7 9 1.
What's Ted going to say?
Were you not talking?
I'll talk now. Why don't you go in and see if you can hear me?
Okay.
Good morning. It's shortly after 10 a.m. on March 20th. 2020, and we are holding a special meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors by conference call, and we're right now waiting to make sure that we do have sound. Nothing in Lucy's office. If you're listening to this audio recording later, you might want, we're trying to get the, we will be recording, we hope, but just be patient with us.
You entered access code 8 9 5 7 9 1.
Yes, Texas. I don't remember it saying that.
Bart said pound key, and your instructions had an asterisk.
Yeah, the asterisk is for the host.
Okay.
Everybody
else
knows what the pound sign is.
Okay.
But
maybe that's Ted.
What?
When you put the access code in, are you using the pound sign or the asterisk?
We did the asterisk because that's what was on there.
Okay, that's
you're not the host.
That was for us. So okay. Maybe that's what the
pound sign
is.
So, call again.
They
hijacked the call.
That's
right.
Do it again. I gave you my instructions.
It says in red, host and participants.
On the agenda, it says pound.
Right, so right.
I know, but
I was just looking to make sure we had it right if people were trying to call in.
Cool.
Yeah, if they had used the agenda.
Yeah.
So if there's members of the public trying to call
this
in.
This service is provided by freeconferencecall.com. Please enter your access code followed by the pound or hash sign. You entered 5. If this is correct, press 1. To re-enter your access code, press 2. Please enter your access code followed by the pound. You entered 8957 91. If this is correct, press 1. There are 11 participants in the conference.
There you go.
Please announce yourself.
I'm just going to start over.
Go ahead.
To Martin.
Ted or
I'm going to call the meeting to order again, and then we'll follow the agenda, okay? Good morning. This is Linda Bergen. I hereby call to order the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors, meeting in a special session. It's 10:06 a.m. We are originating from the administration building at the Story County Courthouse. We are also providing public access via conference call, thanks to our IT department's quick work. We did have one little glitch, and that's why we're starting 5 minutes early. I have a special note to the public on the agenda, and I will read it. Due to recommendations to limit gatherings to no more than 10 people in order to help slow the spread of the COVID-19 virus, public access to the meeting will be provided via conference call to listen into the meeting. I will also just make a few comments right now. If you are looking at the agenda, there is a phone number here. That phone number is probably for today only. We're going to have another service, I think, soon. So if you ever are calling in to either a regular session or a special session of the Board of Supervisors, please check the specific agenda online to make sure you're calling into the correct phone number. And then there's obviously an access code prompt. And we ask that anybody who is on the call, if possible, you mute your phone so that if you're working, you know, we don't get, you know, and I understand doing something, we don't get keyboard strokes and that kind of stuff, you know, from there. We do have a public comment section on the end of our agenda for today, and we would ask that if we're going to do this meeting and all our electronic meetings as we always do according to parliamentary procedure and follow our agenda. So it's not like a normal conference call where everybody can talk whatever they want to talk about something. We're doing this because we have some things that we need to work on urgently today. So we do have public comment at the end of our agenda, and we'd ask that you hold any comments to that. We will have our regular board meetings every Tuesday during this special time, I guess, as we call it. I don't know exactly what to call it during this time when we're trying to help deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. We will have a special meeting every Friday as well as our regular meeting, and we will post agendas as early as we can. That's just some things I wanted to say to start out because we are doing this meeting differently. I would entertain at this point a motion to adopt today's agenda with a request that we consider moving item 8 up after item 4 and any other changes.
So moved. Okay. I'll second and make note that we've already taken care of probably item 3 and 4 then with your statement.
I'm going to just refer to the code sections.
Okay.
Okay. Any further comment? All in favor? Oh, Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Sorry, sometimes you go to old habits. And there's number 3 on your statement, necessity of special meeting for code section 21.4.2b. Basically, we did give 24-hour notice to this meeting, but because we're still working on some technical things, we didn't get our the, some of the things we're going to consider today on the agenda. They will be in future meetings. We will have some thorough discussion of what we will be talking about, though. So that's why I wanted to say there was a necessity of a special meeting, and because of that, we didn't do all the normal procedures we normally do. It's not required by code that we attach items we'll be considering to our agenda, but we do that out of wanting the public to know as much information as possible. Item four, then, says explaining why a meeting in person is impossible or impractical. Again, it's trying to slow the spread of COVID-19. We are adhering to the guidelines of having no more than 10 people in a meeting, and we have exactly 10 people now and a few people, and thank you for doing so. When they saw that, went away and joined us by conference call. And I don't know if we have any members of the public on, but if we do, we appreciate your attendance by electronic means or by telephone today. So that's why we're doing this meeting as we are now. It is unwise and impractical to have a meeting in person with as many people as might want to come, as we just saw. So next, is there anything else before we go into item 8 discussion that we should say today just about the nature of our meeting? Okay. Then I would ask Noelle Fasci if she would come to the microphone and discuss the temporary employment policy and procedure for COVID-19 that she has proposed. Thank you for all your hard work on getting this done so quickly. We appreciate it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As you see, Ethan, Alyssa, and myself worked on the temporary employment practices and policies in response to COVID-19. We did have a discussion earlier this morning, and I do have a few recommendations on identification and isolation of employees with COVID symptoms. When Ethan, Alyssa, and I spoke yesterday, they were recommending employees, if they had symptoms, to remove themselves from employment for at least 24 hours after the use of fever-reducing or other symptom-altering medications. Since this was drafted, there was a change in recommendation, and so we would like to recommend changing that to 72 hours.
So, Noelle, you're referring to under the paragraph, it says paid leave for COVID-19 isolation, testing, and or recovery?
Correct. And actually, there's an area there, and then the paragraph right before that, where it says Story County will follow the protocol set forth by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
So it's in two different areas.
Correct.
So, thank you.
So if I might just make notation that if, as I understand it, that people who are listening were not able to access this online, correct?
So we're having a discussion that some people have not read.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. To clarify that.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. Pardon? So it's okay. I just wanted, for the record, and for people who are on the phone are going, what is she talking about?
Sure.
Are there other questions? Are there other things that you would, because
right.
This is evolving so quickly,
right.
Are there other things that maybe you
Absolutely.
Know more that we should change in this before?
We started? Also discussed under caring for family members, whether that COVID-19 80 hours would be utilized for that portion. We did, Alyssa and I did some more research, and it could be used. But it currently states that for the people that are on the conference call and don't have this right in front of them, this is leave for individuals that may need to care for family members, such as kids who are out of school or if daycares are closed. Currently, how we have it listed, how we have it written, is leave will be granted and they can use any form of paid leave they would like during this time, including vacation, comp time, health-related, and or sick leave. From what we have read currently, They are saying that it could be used for that. However, it would be at a lower rate is what the interpretation currently is. It'd be 2/3 of that individual's salary.
I have a feeling we might have the same question.
You asked yours first.
Yeah, so could you clarify when you're saying the less, I mean, what the difference is? Because it sounds like you're talking about a current policy, what could be used, and then what could be followed under the COVID, the federal legislation.
Yes. Yes. So with the Family Medical Leave Act, which is something that just came out yesterday, there is an area in there that talks about leave for use of for child care if, mm-hmm. if those are closed or schools are closed. And what that reads currently is the law amends the Family and Medical Leave Act of 1993 by allowing workers under employment parameters mentioned above up to 10 weeks of paid family leave to care for a child of an employee if the child's school or place of care has been closed or child care provider is unavailable due to a public health emergency such as COVID-19. And then it states that, let me find it here, it would be paid at 2/3 of their current salary up to
$200 a day.
$200, yeah.
Or a week. A day or a week?
Paid leave exceed $200 per day and $10,000 in the aggregate. So,
and then
two-thirds of an employee's regular rate of pay.
And is this based on the version from the House? Because I know I believe there were some changes, and I think they changed some within this particular area. So are you looking at those potential changes as well? So that this is something that the language there may change.
Correct. Yes, and Alyssa and I talked about that. So our recommendation is to continue with how we have it here currently. We will continue to stay updated on this, and if there's any changes, we would bring that directly to the board.
And I would just say that even if we adopt this policy, I mean, we need to adopt a policy. We can't predict. You're still looking at this. We understand that we're going to, as a unit of government, particularly, we're going to follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have to at some point, okay, we'll catch this up when we can, but if the law supersedes or further defines anything in this policy, my sense is we follow the law and we notify people that here's an update and we will get to revising our policy as we can get to revising our policy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that, just as a general operating principle, make some sense here?
Mm-hmm.
Does that,
I agree.
I might have one of my suggested changes might address that.
Okay. Can you hold it till I'm curious. I want to hear it.
Sure.
Good.
And then the final change to that we would recommend is under telework. The last sentence says authorization for VPN access will only be granted by department head or elected official. We would like to add and allocate it as determined by board of supervisors. We have a limited supply of VPN access available, so when we're looking countywide, we feel that that's important to add.
Okay, so we have, I'm hearing just two changes that you're recommending, where the 24 hours is on twice, change that to 72 hours, and add the phrase you just said, and allocate it as approved by the Board of Supervisors to the telework. Okay, and I'm going to ask Loris now, what are you thinking of in terms of?
Yes, and I'll start with addressing that issue about, you know, as the law changes. In the document, there's a section called Story County Infection Control Practices. And underneath there, and it says, we'll implement the following guidelines. And then there are several bullet points. And the final bullet point says, other employment-related actions as we have recommended by federal or state authorized. I think it really means by authorities. That's a typo.
I'm sure. Where are you?
So let's see. I am on page two.
Top of page two.
Yeah, kind of. It's bottom for me, but oh, it's three. Sorry, top of page three. Okay, because I've got it on PDF.
Okay.
So it's the last bullet point, and it says other employment action related actions as, and we have right now recommended by federal or state authorities, and then it goes out the whole Department of the Homeland Security, Emergency Management, et cetera, OSHA. Okay. I would like to recommend that we take out recommended and substitute required. It addresses it in two ways, I think. First of all, is it makes note about what you were talking about, Linda and Noelle, right? If they require it, we're changing it. Okay. And then the other thing is there may be some recommendations that come out that we're not interested in, just as a recommendation. So I like required instead.
I need a clarification on this. Does OSHA only recommend, or do they require? We could have a recommendation from OSHA, we could have requirements from OSHA, correct?
Correct.
We could have recommend, and I think DPH, the same thing.
And
so I think we have to just end, and if it's executive action, either the president or the governor, you know, that's if it's an executive action, that's required. So I think we need to sift through between recommendations and requirements. And Ethan, do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I
could. Could we set up a vet table over there, one of our portable mics, so we can keep distance?
There's a portable mic right there.
You can move.
Put it together.
Yeah. You can take the press table, Ethan.
Thank you. I agree. My understanding is OSHA issues regulations, and they, I don't know if they issue recommendations, but I think they're regs. And I think this is a reasonable change. Saying we'll do what's required, and then it gives the flexibility to adopt recommendations. Although I think at this point we'd probably be in a position of wanting to even follow recommendations, because we're following the ten person recommendation, we're following 72-hour recommendation, those types of things.
Yeah. So that would lead into a question for either you, Ethan, or Noelle. Would we almost want to have another bullet then, so saying something that we would follow the requirements? But you know, like the ten person is a recommendation. So I'm just trying to figure out.
Well, you go back. I'd like to actually then move a statement in that same section on Story County infection control practices. And it starts out saying Story County will implement the following guidelines, which. There's a little bit of a non sequitur there, right? And we will implement, but there are guidelines. So that's why I'm concerned that we could get so many guidelines and we don't want to adopt them all. Was the tense then my recommended or required, okay? And I also have another change in there, but it's not addressing the same.
Would you like to change guidelines to practices?
Yes, and then so if we're keeping will implement, then I do have a separate edit on another bullet point there. But we're locking ourselves in with a will implement out there at the top.
Well, then what we could do is just strike that last bullet point and get rid of it all together.
Okay.
So then what you're implementing is what is in the first six bullet points. Mm-hmm. And then looking to the end, this document is clearly an attempt to address several concerns, but it's also a work in progress. You have this understanding in the last paragraph that the Board of Supervisors reserves the right to amend or alter this as situations develop. And so, yeah, if we need to come back again to the Board with newer recommendations or newer requirements, I think that's anticipated in this document.
And if it's really urgent, and we could do that through a simple motion rather than having a new document placed in front of us that might take some time to put together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
I guess I kind of see this too as the circumstance, the unusual circumstance that we're under, that this particular policy is actually going to be more of like a living policy. It's going to be changing because of how rapidly things are changing with COVID-19.
Noel, are you comfortable with taking out that final bullet?
Yes.
It might just make it easier for us. And I think we're going to be doing a lot of that, and we're already doing a lot of it, saying, please do this, please do that. And some of that's just standard operating procedures. But we don't, you know, the facilities management doesn't have to come to us to decide to take the lids off the trash cans, as an example. You got it.
So staying in that section, my next change is actually an addition, moving up to bullet point number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It says we will implement, and it says utilize electronic means to conduct public meetings. I think we need to clarify in there, unless conducting a legally required public hearing, because we have to let the public into a public hearing. We can't say, sorry, you can't attend, or you have to attend via a phone, or you have to attend via a computer. So that still keeps our intent there. I mean, you know, we want to try and use our electronic means, but public hearings are required to have the public there.
I'd add on.
So it'd be utilize electronic means to conduct public meetings unless conducting a legally required public hearing, and legally required is probably redundant. How about a required public hearing?
Code required.
That works too. Okay.
Then we're specifically looking at the Iowa code.
Okay.
Is that okay with you, Ethan?
That's perfect. Yeah, I think the board has already pushed back some of the ordinance change or the septic ordinance stuff back,
right,
because of the public hearing requirement. So yeah, I mean this is a good way to make sure what we say matches what we're doing.
And I would assume if we have a true emergency that we are responding to, and I can't think of a true emergency that would require a public hearing, but I would assume that if there were just no other way and we were protecting life, you know, doing something we just absolutely had to do, there was no question that we'd have you on the phone.
Yes.
To say, how do we do this?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So those were my two actual suggested changes. Okay. Did have a couple questions, but I'll defer to you guys and see if you've got questions you want brought up before I ask about questions. So policy, how does this work?
No, my question actually was pretty much answered when I asked if you were using the new amended version. And I brought that up because I was on the NACO conference call last night, and that was something they emphasized, was making sure you looked at that amended version, because there had been some changes, and I believe they were also going to put out like some guideline information as well, but things are just, as they say, are ever evolving too.
Anything else?
Yeah. Linda did, or Laura had a question.
Okay. So going to the next section, which is right below the bullet point.
What is the title?
Identification and isolation of employees with COVID-19 symptoms. And in the middle of the first paragraph, we say, employees or individuals within any Story County work site exhibiting symptoms including but not limited to those identified as being associated with COVID-19 must be immediately isolated from others at the work site. So my question is, I'm known for my coughing sometimes. Okay, another symptom is shortness of breath, and I suspect as more of us can't go to the gym, some of us might become more short of breath, or upstairs or whatever. So I'm a little concerned about how we end up interpreting this. I know fever is probably a clearer one, but if I get into a coughing fit, all right, or someone gets short of breath, you know, what do we do? Do we immediately have to isolate them and then from others at the work setting for how long?
Well, I think when reading this paragraph, I want to read the sentence before that as well. And
that references information posted in the job site, work site, about COVID-19. That's been distributed to all employees.
Mm-hmm.
And then these are going to be largely kind of discretionary,
okay,
common sense. This is the best practice. This is what we intend to do. But there's no way to act on every potential cough, sneeze, sniffle today or in a policy.
Mm-hmm.
This is general guidance. I think if somebody feels sick, they know they're sick, they should go home, isolate themselves, and then contact your resources, and Noelle and Alyssa will work with
them. Okay. I just wanted to make it because it reads very black and white. Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
No, I just think as things go along, too, there's probably going to be refining.
Right.
You know.
So I'm going to go through again where I see the changes that we're doing. And I'm not going to refer to page numbers. I'll try to refer to section headings since then we have printed, we're looking at it. Under Story County Infection Control Practices section, substituting the word practices for guidelines in the first sentence. In the fifth bullet, which starts utilizing electronic means to conduct public hearings, unless conducting a code, and that'd be capital C, the Code of Iowa, required public hearing. Then deleting the final bullet in that section. In the section on identification and isolation of employees with symptoms, change in the second paragraph, 24 hours to 72. In paid leave for COVID-19 isolation testing and a recovery van, near the bottom of that, there's another 24 hours. Change that to 72, I'm sorry. Thank you. And then under telework, the final sentence, add and allocated as approved by the Board of Supervisors. Did anybody have any other changes?
No, I just have a clarification on, I know we talked about changing the guidelines to practices under the Story County Infection Control Practices.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, were we changing from guidelines to practices based on that last paragraph, but now we've taken out that last paragraph? I just want to make sure that, you know, are we already practicing these things, or are we going by certain guidelines? Clarification from our conversation.
Since I suggested it, can I tell you what I had in mind and mm-hmm. see if it works? To me, a guideline is, here's something to consider. If we say, these are the practices that we will implement, we're saying this is what we're going to do. If there's a better word than practices, I mean, I think this is, we're not just telling staff, here's some things to think about. We're saying, this is what we want you to do as a practice.
Okay, that's fine.
Does that work?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Any other comments or questions before we vote? And I think, Shelley, you and Noelle, you've got all the changes then that we went through, and we're in agreement. Those are the changes that we would want. I would entertain a motion to approve the temporary employment practices and policies in response to the novel coronavirus or COVID-ID pandemic as discussed.
I will move that we adopt the temporary employment practices and policies in response to the novel coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic as presented in revision number one and the changes announced at the board table.
Good.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, Olson.
Aye.
And
aye.
Merkin, aye. Again, thank you very much, Noel. Ethan, I know Alyssa helped with this considerably, so thank you, Alyssa. Whether or not you're on the phone, we'll thank you in person. We'll see you soon. But we also did, once the changes are made, I would ask with consent of the other supervisors that we direct Noel to send it out to all employees, because there may be people listening in who didn't have the advantage of looking at this, and we want to make sure people have this now as soon as possible. So Is that all right, everybody?
Sounds good.
That sounds good. My one question is, do you need to qualify, does she need to kind of requalify that there may be some additional changes based on, you know, certain areas, or do you not necessarily? I know it's kind of written in the last page of the policy here that there may be some changes, but that might be something you want to just emphasize as well.
I think that's a good idea because people are going to be listening to the news and know that, well, I just heard this might happen. I just heard that might happen. What about that? So I think that'd be an excellent way to, in your email, get the heart of our conversation about that in there.
The other thing that did come up, and just this morning when we kind of took our first look at this, is, and when Alyssa was on the phone, is making mention that there will need to be a memorandum of understanding with two of the five unions. Do not know which two they are, but she will follow up on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you might want to mention that in there too, so somebody in one of those unions can understand.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you. Next, we have updates on COVID-19 from staff. Are there any staff present who need to make an update that they would want the supervisors to know about right now?
Would that maybe be some staff that might be on
online? I was thinking about that. There are also staff online. Are there staff who are online? Could you please tell me who's on the call? If you want to say anything, you don't have to. Anybody on the call want to make a quick update? Staff? What?
Probably all muted.
This is Ted Rasmussen, Treasurer.
Yes.
Last night, our governor did issue a proclamation that will postpone the penalty for late property taxes until April 16th. So we do expect payments to slow down. Otherwise, I don't have any other updates.
Ted, does that also include, or did you do anything about the vehicle registrations as well?
Vehicle registrations were handled in a proclamation earlier this week that allowed anyone it basically gave a 60-day extension to anyone whose vehicle registration expired after March 16th.
Okay,
and I think driver's license for the same 60-day extension if they expired after March 16th.
Okay, thank you. I do recall that I did see that, so.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else, any other staff on the call, particularly department heads or elected officials, who have any other announcements? If not, then I'm going to move on to any comments from the members of the Board of Supervisors.
So I actually would like an update from some specific staff. And I came in and talked to Sandra about this yesterday. Sandra's in the room with us, or perhaps possibly from if Leanne Harder's on the phone. But I'd like to get an update on communications. As far as, in addition to just sending out press releases and using social media, I'd like to get an update on what other forms of outreach we have been doing, and have we made any attempts to contact media like newspapers to run paid ads saying, hey, the admin building's closed, or to purchase ads, paid media, once again, on radio. So have we done that? And then, Ted, I'm going to also invite you to comment, because in the past, I know the Treasurer's Office has always purchased some advertising. And so I'd just like to know, have we begun that outreach yet? I see Sandra moving to the mic.
So this is Ted Rasmussen, Treasurer. I had ads scheduled to run on our Ames radio station, 1430 KISI, and 105.1. I can't remember the call letter for that right now. They did just email me this morning about updating some things on my ads. I have to get back to them on how I want to run those. I'm a little hesitant to run those because the governor's proclamation basically said that the late fee of property taxes are suspended through the duration of this proclamation, and then later in the proclamation it said it goes into effect immediately and it expires on April 16th. That does not mean that she could not issue an extension to that proclamation or issue a different proclamation. So I am not positive how I will approach those ads now. Those ads were all set to run beginning, I think, next Tuesday until the last day of the month. So I guess the update is we are addressing them. We have to have some discussions within the department before we determine how we are going to make those changes.
I think that's something to think about is information is going so quickly that we could place an ad in the paper and it's like 3 days ahead of time, here's what we want you to say, and then all of a sudden, you know, we got something new comes up. And I don't know how to answer that, but I'm just saying I think that's a real life example of what can happen to us.
So, yes, I'm going to let Sandra update us then, too, and then maybe I can clarify that for you.
We actually have not made any changes since our conversation, Loris, but Leanne may be on the phone. I shared the information with her and your concerns about communication. We've been following our practices, what we've been doing in the past, posting online, posting on Facebook. There are some postings about building closures in the building and so forth. We have not taken out an ad in the paper, although we discussed that being a good idea and maybe something we want to consider in the future.
Let's put that on Tuesday's agenda if you need a direction for expenditure of money from the Board of Supervisors, if that's a concern. But everybody keeps on pointing out over and over again that this is not business as usual, okay? And I, 15 minutes after we closed the building, I walked out the front door. There were four people standing there. Two went away. One was a gentleman in his 50s who said, I don't have a computer. And the other one was a gentleman that I will estimate was in his 90s. He used two canes to walk, and he'd come to pay his property taxes. He doesn't listen to the radio. I mean, he may listen to the radio. He does not. He has a computer. He's not on social media. And therefore, a general ad that we could place today, Linda's addressed to you, that would run, and unfortunately I think we've missed the deadlines for next week's weekly papers again, but a simple ad saying our facilities are closed to the public. And if we need to wait till next Tuesday, that's unfortunate. I think the publication deadline for the weeklies is Tuesday. But I guess if we've got something ready to go and the board can approve expenditure on it. But we need to realize that not all of our citizens communicate using social media.
Where would you put the ad? Names, Tribune,
and Tri-County? And the Tri-County Times and the Nevada Journal and the Story City Herald. They'd be one simple ad, but it would run to let people know until further notice we're closed. So please call first if you have some business to take care of. Ted would be separate in what he does with his deadlines.
The Tribune has used the press release and did one story, and I understand that it's one story and people can miss it, but it was pretty prominent, and it said that we were closing our buildings to the public. So maybe, you know,
it takes seven times when you hear or read something. This is per ad marketing research that is very well established. So it takes seven times to get a message in. Also, yes, the assumption that what's called earned media, that one time that everybody will catch it or get it right, is not. I'm sorry, I am going to probably point out that I spent 20 years in the news business, the communications business, and I'm saying that we're not doing all that we can if we don't do this.
You're saying that you want to put it on the Tuesday agenda for discussion and direction to staff?
If we need to do that, since staff has not acted yet. Staff actually has $3,000 in, we have a line item in our budget, our fiscal year 20 budget, that we haven't
expense for advertisement and publications. And that's the reason it's in there is that when we originally did the budget, we estimated we would be doing our story in the Sun 4 times a year. But we renegotiated that contract. So we have $3,000 that we don't even need to make a budget amendment on or anything that's available for staff. If staff is hesitant to do this without an official okay from the supervisors and not willing or not comfortable acting within their parameter of their of the job, then that's why I say we put on Tuesday and then just clear up any confusion.
Why don't we have staff bring us some recommendations on Tuesday?
I think that makes perfect sense, and staff is certainly not hesitant to act and has been trying to provide as much information as possible to the public. It's certainly not staff's intent to not notify the public of things that we're doing during this rapidly changing situation. And I also want to point out that when any change is made, there are going to be hiccups along the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of the normal way things go, and there may be a person or two that will continue to show up even after ads have been placed because they didn't get the information. But we will continue to try and share that as widely as possible.
Okay, thank you.
So can I summarize direction from this discussion? Do you want to say anything more?
I think you kind of helped with my question. So
if we direct staff now to bring us recommendations regarding further notices to the public about changes in county operations with a particular emphasis on, I'm just going to add this because I think this is what you're getting to, with a particular emphasis on audiences we might not already have been reaching. And you made a good point about repetition of the message. But I think we know that a lot of people use websites, not everybody. So thinking about how we can reach out, whether it's through use of budgeted funds or use of other things that don't cost much.
The other question I have too is, as you're looking at those, print medias, I don't think I heard, Laura, that you say the Sun, and I think the Sun goes out to everyone.
Yes, it does.
In the county.
It does, yes.
So is it better to look at the individual, newspapers? Or I'm not saying your name. I'm just saying, or is that in addition? Or I think just some of that information is would be a good thing to have as well.
I neglected to mention them, and that's my fault, because they're all owned by the same media outlet.
Right.
So the buy would be across the 5 publications that now Gannett owns and distributes.
Okay.
And my suggestion. The other thing I'd like to add in that direction to staff to bring to us, could you please prepare, anticipating that there would be some newspaper buys, that there be a preparation of an ad that would go in, because once again, the weeklies and the Sun have publication deadlines, and so we're already a week behind. So if we're going to get our message out as soon as possible to people, we need to anticipate. So if they've at least done some work in advance, then when we take a look at the suggestions you're bringing us, they might be ready to leave right away and then place that.
We can do that and have a draft ad for you to look at if that is what you're looking for.
Great.
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking at the clock right now. I'm cognizant of time. It's probably going to be, noon Friday, I know you've got a whole something we've already put on your schedule to do all day Monday. I'm just saying I understand the urgency, but I'm also saying I know how busy people are right now. So I think we need to prioritize. So I would just suggest you get one good first priority thing to go and look at people who I haven't reached so far and do that. Not a full plan right now.
So are you suggesting that they put off because there was one newspaper article?
No, I'm not. I'm saying there's only so many hours of work that can be done. And rather than leave here thinking we're asking for a whole communications plan for this whole thing.
Oh, got it. Okay.
A first step, and maybe it's an ad. How can we quickly reach people who we're not reaching through the website? And don't feel, I'm just saying, bring us one thing.
I'm going to counter that, okay? And here's why, okay? So when I say bring us one thing, the newspapers, I believe, still will offer to build the ad. If all you do is send them the text, we're closed as of last I knew, newspapers still offer to build ads. Deal with the radio station, and I think the other thing that we talked about is that if in fact a phoner were just booked, I believe it takes about 3 minutes to book a phoner by calling over to KSI, it's called a phoner, and someone, whether it be our a PIO, could get on next week or whatever, and then the radio station will record that phoner in addition to it being live in the morning, and they can cut out and they can make a commercial out of it. Yeah,
because it can get a nice 60-second spot.
Right, and so I don't see this as being that huge burden, and but I do see it as a high priority. We've got to reach all our citizens.
A couple ideas there to work with and do as quickly and simply as you can to help get the message out. Is that okay?
Yes, we'll work on it.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
Anything else on this? Then I'm going to go on to six. And unless there's any department heads and elected officials on the phone who have thought of something they can very briefly report that they think is important to report now. Hearing nobody move to the mic, I'll say it that way, we'll go on to item six. And I don't know that we have any other items brought before the board today with requests for immediate action, do we? Seeing none, hearing none, I will move on to item seven, review the authority of the Board of Supervisors individually and collectively as a body.
So I placed this on the agenda because we are in unusual, unique times, never happened before, and the county's never activated its CUCOG before. And that's led to confusion, I think, and coupled with some a couple of new supervisors, coupled with a couple of new departments, there are people who are in somewhat management positions, and it's created some confusion about really what are the limitations of individual supervisors to give direction, what is their CUCOG, what are our legal, how do we get our legal authority? So I would like for Ethan Anderson to discuss briefly 301 and 302, and Ethan, I have it in front of me if you want them read. They're both like one sentence that give us our authority and say how we operate. And then I'd like to clarify about if any one of us is, or the chair is given special authorities in the section. I'd like to move on to the CUCOG and see, I've been through it, I don't see anywhere where that changes the state law. I'd like to have you quickly give us a feedback on consensus up here at the table and how that might work as opposed to having put items on the agenda for things like forming work committees or for, say, making an offer to an employee about a hotel room or something like that. And then to discuss the individual, the separation of liaison assignments that I think we, the board, would like to look at, splitting up areas about where we're each going to take on some internal liaison assignments. So I'll call up my section of the code unless you've got 301 or 302 with you.
Sure. I mean, if you want to read those sections, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, sorry, okay, there it is.
So you didn't bring copies for us?
Well, it's pretty easily found online, sorry, so I downloaded it.
I didn't know, we were going to be discussing it.
Well, that's kind of, that's, am I correct, Ethan, that we get our authority from those two sections and it says clearly what authority we have and how we are to exercise it?
Yes, my understanding, I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, 331. 301 talks about board supervisors and acting as an entity, and 302, I believe, talks about county legislation.
Yes.
And so that's the way the board acts through amendment, motion, ordinance, resolution. I would just say maybe before we begin discussion, that this is an unprecedented situation we're in. Supervisor hasn't just said that's an evolving situation. I've been involved closely with the supervisors in the last week and a half, and I would report and state for the record that all supervisors have been very conscientious of the limits of their authority for wanting to do things the right way. And in my experience, interaction so far, I don't see anything that's given me any concern. Again, it's a useful reminder for the board that these decisions that are made by the board have to be made as an entity. Any decision made outside of this room, it's not binding. It's simple as that. I think we're doing a good job following the open meeting laws. You know, there's situations where we're gathering information. There's ministerial functions. I've been involved with those with Linda. These are not board actions, and she has not been directing employees. That's been my experience in the meetings I've been involved with. So as a reminder, yes, you are one board. The three of you are one. It's an entity. You have to act together. You have to pay attention and follow open meetings requirements. Now, I say that this is an evolving situation and an unprecedented situation because Matt Corey just handed me a press release from the governor's office that she'll be suspending the requirements of 21.8 Iowa Code. So this is, as we discuss public hearings, the governor's now said you can have a public hearing by electronic means. And she waived the provisions of the code and suspends the provisions of the code that prevent that from happening. Mm-hmm. So this is evolving. And I think, yes, it's a good reminder. Let's do the business of the county in an open and transparent way. Let's abide by open meetings. Let's remember the limits of our authority is one entity. And I think with that, we can move on and keep doing the business of the county with those reminders in place. And I don't think it'd be productive today to go through individual accounts or concerns. I'd be happy to have those discussions with the county attorney and with the individual board members present, and be happy to have a closed session discussion.
My concern in part here is that maybe the staff, and why I felt it was important for this to come to the board, is I'm not sure the staff necessarily understands that. So that is why, when you say to move on here, I would like to read 331.301.2. Okay, a power of a county is vested in the board, and a duty of a county shall be performed by or under the direction of the board. Correct, the board being the three people. All right. So I'm concerned that staff may be bringing to one person, it could be any one person, will be bringing scenarios to one person, and that person may just make us automatically offer a solution that person doesn't have the authority to make, because the board would have to make that. So I'm going to go to county legislation, 331.302. The board shall exercise a power or perform a duty only by the passage of a motion, a resolution, an amendment, and an ordinance, which I said I want to talk about consensus now, okay, because I have some concern about, in addition to only one of us making an offer to an employee or forming a work committee, okay? And I gave those two examples, but I would say, okay, we're going to move on from that. But then I have a concern about what we even do via consensus, since it's not binding there. So as I mentioned, we are interested in creating some areas, liaison assignments internally to keep watch over some specific areas and to take the lead, so that we are spreading workload, and then we can share what we've learned, right? And should we next Tuesday bring a list for the three of us about which areas we're going to take the lead in, rather than rely upon consensus?
I think that'd be potentially, yes, an internal discussion with the board that needs to happen in an open meeting on Tuesday.
Okay.
But again, I think as a reminder to the board and to county employees, the board is the only entity that can take action. And if you're referring to liaison assignments and open meetings, if they're gathering information from staff, or they're on liaison assignments, or they're gathering information, it's not an open meeting. It's a ministerial function. They're not. There's not a quorum of the board present. They're not discussing matters in public policy. It's not an open meeting. That's what's happened here and now.
Mm-hmm.
In any future meeting of this board.
What happens if? Because I understand that. Yeah. So you're gathering information from the staff. Okay, let's talk about then that information's gathered, okay? The information needs to be shared and discussed. Can the sharing occur before the board meeting, or do we have to come back to share information with each other? Only to share the information.
So, I mean, those conversations, that sharing information, that get very close to crossing the line, mm-hmm. what becomes discussion or deliberation, affecting matters in your public policy decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
So I would caution against that and just remind each of you to be aware of that. That if all of a sudden it appears to be discussion or deliberation, I'd expect you to immediately stop that and say, we got to stop this and save this for the meeting.
Can I follow up on that just because I have some concern, because if we can't share information as to things we know or what we're doing, we have a possibility, there's the real possibility that we can be working inefficiently, working across purposes, and sending conflicting messages. We are meeting ministerially daily right now, and we have reminded each other several times that no, that's something that's going to have to wait for a meeting. We are just sharing information. We do, because of boards and commissions that we sit on, have some particular areas of expertise. So somebody may come back to the three supervisors and just say, I just want to let you know what I learned at this meeting today.
And that's not a problem. Yeah, that's information sharing. That's the definition.
We need to be doing that right now, so I'm glad to hear that.
Okay.
And we will be very careful, and we will. What you're saying is we have if we're doing that, which we have a need to do in this time, we have even an increased opportunity to step over that line. So we're going to have to be super vigilant about not stepping over that line.
Yes.
I think we all understand that, but I think we all will need to help remind each other about that.
The purpose of the open meeting legislation is that the discussion, deliberation, or action happens here.
Right, certainly.
Not behind closed doors, not in secret, but here. But if you're sharing information, just information, that's a ministerial or societal function where you're going to be in the same place at the same time, and information may be shared. It's not a discussion.
And you know, the other thing I would just add in here as I'm thinking about this is that, you know, because we've said we're going to have a second regular meeting, not calling it a special meeting, but a regular special meeting, so to speak, we have two times during the week that we can come to a meeting that's already on everybody's calendars and discuss, consider, deliberate, whatever, even if we decide that at that time we're not going to arrive at a decision. You know, we can have that discussion openly. And we also can have a special meeting if we say we've got to just do something right now. We call a special meeting right now. We do what we can for access. We report it. You know, we need to think about what that's going to be, you know, for other staff. If we say we want something in 5 minutes, well, we may not be able to, you know, we can't do that. That's not reasonable. But I'm just saying this is helpful to me because we will know we can do that. We have more opportunities to do that. We can share information. We will be very careful about deliberating. Maybe I'm speaking for the group.
No, I think you're headed right. I mean, like I said, this is precedent setting. So we have the ability, all of us, staff and the board, to do it right. set precedence if, heaven forbid, we ever, if somebody in the future would ever have to activate the coupon, ever have to face these kind of rapidly changing situations. So I have one final question about if we call an emergency meeting. In the unlikely event that we need to really make a decision in the next 10 minutes and the three of us are available either electronically or in the same place, can we call that emergency meeting and record it and have one of us produce the minutes for it? Or do we need to find a fourth party?
It's talking to the auditor's office about that.
I just wondered.
Yeah, I mean,
if
we follow the
guidance. I will continue to do the minutes. This is Lucy Martin. That's not an issue here.
Okay.
We're fine.
Thank
okay.
you,
Lucy.
Thank you. Never mind. Okay. Now, thank you. Now I'm done. We hit all the points I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Well, my one comment would be it's just encouraging, as I said, to see a very conscientious board of supervisors, one through the public business in an open and transparent way. And I think, yes, encouraging and a good refreshing to have these discussions.
Thanks. Okay.
Ethan, before you go, just since you brought it up with the new governor's proclamation, so could you just clarify what the proclamation does for Section 21.8?
So I was just giving it, but this is for media release, Friday, March 20th. So you're your press conference at 2 p.m. today. And this is just kind of a summary of what she's going to say, but it says it permits public meetings and or hearings by electronic means to improve the response of government on maintaining social distancing. And then goes on further to say, pursuant to Iowa Code 29C.66, and at the request of the Iowa League of Cities and numerous local governmental bodies, I temporarily suspend the regulatory provisions of Iowa Code 21.8, 26.12, and 414.12, or any other statute imposing a requirement to hold a public meeting or hearing. It goes on to say that as long as you make it available wherever you are today or the telephone, that's enough.
Okay.
And again, I think there'll be more details coming out. This is just a summary.
Sure. Since you mentioned it, I just wanted to have just a little bit more detail on that. So thank you very much.
I'm just going to mention something because I just thought about that and thinking about doing meetings. The Human Services Building in Ames. If you said they have conference call capabilities, Barb, I'm thinking if we get from to a work from home situation, if we get to a situation where there are major disruptions, and we maybe would be easier to get there. Would you think about that?
Yeah. Sure. I'm creating that list even as we've been talking today for Barb and I to talk at 1:30 today. So yeah, that's a good list. Good thought.
Ethan, did you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, just that I'm available. The county attorney, Tim Meals, is available. Call us up. If you have any questions about concerns or legal issues, we're available.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Ethan, thank you. Is there anything else on this agenda item?
We just had, I think, public comment. Oh, on this agenda item. Sorry.
Okay. Then we're going to public comment. Is there anybody in the room in person who wants to make a public comment? Is there, seeing no one, is there anybody on the conference call who would like to take advantage of the situation, this time to make public comment? Hearing nobody with public comment, closed public comment session, and I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Hedden?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Merck and I, we're adjourned. Thank you very much.